every word I say tonight. Don't make me have to preach to hold your attention. I'd like to have your attention on purpose. I'd like for the subject matter to keep your attention tonight. In the book of Romans, it says that a man is justified by faith. In the book of James, it says a man is justified by works. Just as plain as can be. Romans says a man is justified by faith. And James says a man is justified by works. Now, there's seemingly a contradiction, and yet there isn't. To understand it, Brother Reinert, there's a draft on me. I wish you'd get off. We'll get comfortable here in a minute. Have to understand the meaning of the purpose of Romans and James. Romans was written to show us how man might be justified before his God. James was written to show us how man might be justified before his neighbor. Now, God is concerned in our hearts being... Let me say this. We are always stressing, God's concerned about the inside. Now, that's not true, that God is just concerned about the inside. God wants the outside to show, but he wants what the outside shows to be on the inside. God is not advocating the inside being right and the outside not being right. He's advocating make the inside what the outside is. Be consistent. By the way, there is a hypocrisy. Are you listening? There is a hypocrisy also about just having it inside and not having it outside. You know, listen, I'll teach you something. The word hypocrisy in the Bible comes from the word acting. To act. You have a stage and a person acts. Dr. Billings, who were you the night when you played the guitar? Cowboy Bob. Now, are you really Cowboy Bob? No, you were acting like Cowboy Bob. That means he was a hypocrite. You see, not a religious hypocrite, but he was acting something that he really was not. Now, follow me. There are two types of religious hypocrites. One who is righteous, seemingly on the outside, but on the inside, he is unrighteous. He is acting something he is not. Now, conversely so, there's a second type of hypocrite, just as much a hypocrite as the first type. He's the fella who has it on the inside and doesn't show it on the outside. You see? Hypocrisy has two barrels to the gun. You're acting. Either you're shallow on the inside, you don't mean what you say, that's hypocrisy. Or you're deep on the inside and don't say it, that's hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is when people get the wrong impression about what you are. Now, to be true is to have the inside and the outside speak the same story. So God's concerned about the outside, isn't he? The little line of patter that is given about by all the people that wear long hair, do not wear proper clothing to suit the occasion, do not practice or believe in propriety, is this. It doesn't matter. Accept a man for what he is. Okay, then how are we supposed to find out what he is? You see what I'm trying to say? The outside is that which conveys to others what we are. 'Tis true the inside ought to measure up to the outside. 'Tis also true the outside ought to measure up to the inside. Either without the other is hypocrisy as much as the other. God isn't concerned about the outside. Why did he spend so much of the Bible talking about how we should dress? For example, in Proverbs chapter 7, it talks about the attire of a harlot. There came to him a woman with the attire of a harlot. That means there's some kind of clothing that the harlot would wear. Is that right? All right, so God does not want us to wear the attire of a harlot. What if somebody in the Bible days wore the attire of a harlot? The clothing that told the whole world, I'm a prostitute, I'm a harlot. What if God decided to, or if the Lord, if a person, I'm going to wear what I want to wear. I'll wear the clothing of a harlot. Is that right? No, it's not right. It's speaking something you're not. If you wear the clothing of a harlot, you're not a harlot, you're a hypocrite. You see? Or if you don't wear the clothing of a harlot and you are a harlot, you're a hypocrite. God is saying, make your profession equal to your possession. Again, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, the Lord says that a woman should adorn herself with modest apparel. Modest apparel. Now, what is modest apparel? That's not the issue. The issue is God tells us how to dress in the Bible, right? I mean, we can go into what modest apparel is, but I don't care if you think modest apparel is a bikini bathing suit. At least God tells us how to dress in the Bible. God is concerned about what you wear. The Epistle of Peter, the Lord says that a woman should not adorn herself with costly array, and that jewels and so forth should not be the outstanding thing about a lady. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying God is concerned about what you wear. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now hold it. Present your what? Say it. Bodies. All right, now the next verse. And be ye not conformed. That word conformed is fashion. What's he talking about? Body. And the next line, fashion. Do not put on your body the clothing of this world. Be not conformed or fashioned. The word is patterned after this world. But be ye transformed. And the word transformed there is the same word that is used in Matthew 17, verse 9. Of the transfiguration. When Jesus was caught up on the Mount of Transfiguration and received his glorified body, the Apostle Paul said that a Christian ought to be as different from this world in the way he dresses as Jesus was when he was on the Mount of Transfiguration as compared to all the other people. Now, what I'm trying to say right now is God's concerned about how you dress. God's concerned about how you wear your hair. In the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, several verses, God takes time to talk to us about the length of our hair. Now, the first premise that I'm laying down tonight is God is concerned about the way you wear your hair. God is concerned about the way you dress. The people that say it doesn't matter what's on the outside, we look at take a man for what he is. No, they're not right. They're just not right. God talks about the outside. Don't misunderstand me. God does say we shouldn't make the outside of the platter clean and the inside dirty, but never one place in the Bible does he say we're supposed to have the outside dirty and the inside clean. The fact that God is not for inner filth does not mean he's for external filth and inner cleanliness. And I'm of the persuasion you can't have one without the other. You can't have a desire for cleanliness on the inside without having a desire for cleanliness on the outside. And so what am I saying? I'm saying that God is interested in how you wear your hair, in how you dress. Now then, we come to the sermon. The people that started America on its downward trend were known as the Beatles. In my opinion, these were the people. I think that no president, athlete, star, or any personality has had the influence on our generation and toward the decay and corruption of our country as has had the Beatles. The Beatles came out with the long hair first. By the way, this is not the only corruption the Beatles have caused in our country or have helped to cause in our country. They've caused the deterioration of our music. They've caused the deterioration of our morals. They've caused the breakdown between the sexes. They've caused leaning toward revolution. But because of the influence of the Beatles, other singing groups came out. The Rolling Stones, the Jefferson Airplane, and so forth. And they, too, had long hair. Soon, the hippie movement took up the fad. And now, in every street, on every street in America, just about, a busy street, and certainly in every city and town of any size in America, you see what we call hippies. People who wear long hair, men, males who wear long hair, beards, dirty clothes, live in communals, and so forth. From the Beatles to the hippies, and on to the Jesus freaks. There's no crowd at all who uses the argument that I gave you a while ago that doesn't matter what the outside is like, No crowd uses this as much as the Jesus freaks do. For you see, they look like revolutionaries, but many of them, I think, are born-again Christians. And so they use the argument, and such other organizations as Campus Crusade and sometimes even Youth for Christ and other groups, they use the same type of argument. Christian campus groups delight to use the same argument. God looks on the heart. Now, that's only half true. God looks on the outside as well as on the inside. God is concerned about the heart. God's concerned about the hands. God's concerned about your heart being clean. God's concerned about your teeth being clean. God's concerned about your mind being clean. God's concerned about your feet being clean. God's concerned about your thoughts being clean. God's concerned about your body being clean. God's concerned about your inside being clean. God's concerned about your hands being clean. God wants us clean inside and outside. Now then, does it matter? Now let me say something else by way of preface, and I'm going to take a while tonight to teach this. Something else by way of preface. And that is this. We have to be very careful as Christians to discern our convictions from our preferences. There are some things that are not sinful, that perhaps are not expedient. Paul said one time, he said, all things that are sinful to me are not expedient for me. He said again, I have become all things to all men that perchance I might win some. Now there are some things we ought not to do that are not wrong to do. Let me give you an example. The Bible says nothing about it being sinful to wear a beard. Nothing. Nothing at all. I do not think that if a person wears a beard, he's sinful. I do not think that if a person wears a mustache, he's sinful. The Bible says nothing about mustaches. The Bible says nothing about beards. Now, I do think that if you had one before the hippie crowd came in, you see, then I'd keep it. But if you didn't have one before the hippie crowd came in, I'd wait a while before I grew one. You see what I'm saying? Everybody knew you had a mustache before the hippie crowd, and I'd like for you to listen because I want to help you tonight. When you get home tonight, sit down and just talk about the message for all you want to, would you? I mean, just get you a cup of coffee or something and just talk about it and chew it up and criticize me. But be sure while you're here, you get what to criticize. You won't know enough to talk about. You see? So criticize me intelligently when you get home, would you please? And when you call somebody on the telephone tomorrow and say, I'll tell you, there's one fellow in this town I just can't stand. And that's that preacher at First Baptist Church. Now I want you to know why you can't stand me. I know why I can't stand you. You ought to know why you can't stand me. You see? So I want you to get the goods tonight, just like they are. Now again I say, I do not personally think it is wise for a person who did not have a beard before the revolutionary movement came to grow one now. For he may express to people, I have joined the revolutionary movement. Now, there are people in this church who've had mustaches for years. I wouldn't suggest you cut yours off. Well, a few of you look a little dumb. Some of you look okay. But, I don't think it's wrong for you to wear one. I don't think it's wrong for anybody to wear one. I don't think it's a sin for a person to wear a mustache. And if you've grown one since the hippie crowd started growing beards and mustaches, well and good. I do think you're taking a chance of associating yourself with a certain element with whom you ought not to want to be associated. On the other hand, I think that if you had one already, there's certainly no objection to keeping the one that you have. Now, I'm saying the Bible does not say it's wrong to have a beard. The Bible does say it's wrong for a man to wear long hair. It is not wrong for a man to grow a mustache. It's a little dumb looking for a woman to grow one. But it is wrong for a man to have long hair. It is sin for a man to have long hair, and I'm going to show you tonight in the message. I'm going to give you five reasons why it is. In the first place, it is forbidden in the Bible. It is forbidden in the Bible. Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, please. And this is where you thought I'd start, and I'll just spend a few moments here. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. May I ask you a question before we go any further? Are you comfortable in the auditorium? Do you need some air? How many are comfortable? Anybody too warm down here at the front? Okay, in general, I guess we're all right. I want you to stay awake. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I want everybody in the house now to have your eyes on 1 Corinthians chapter 11. If you're sitting behind someone that has a Bible and you don't, reach up and tap them on the shoulder and say, neighbor, could I look on with you? If the person in front of you doesn't have a Bible, just put yours where you can see it. Everybody in the house, I want you to see 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 14. Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him. Read that out loud. I want you for one time in your life to read something so you'll have it. Read it out loud if you please, everybody. Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? Now, I want you to take your pencils and I want you to, or pens, and circle the word shame. Circle the word shame. Now, I want to tell you what the same Greek word is called in other places in the Bible. This original word in the Greek, I'll not go into what it is. Oh, I may. We'd spell it A-T-I-M-A. A-T-I-M-A. The word is used several times in the New Testament. In one place, it's called dishonor. All right, now look at the verse again. Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a dishonor unto him? Another place in the New Testament, when this same Greek word is used, it is called a reproach. Look at it again. That if a man have long hair, it is a reproach unto him. In another place in the New Testament, and I'll show it to you in a minute, the word is translated vile, V-I-L-E. Let's put that there. If a man have long hair, it is vile unto him. In another place in the New Testament, the word is translated disgrace. Let's put that there. If a man have long hair, it is a disgrace unto him. Now, the Bible teaches that if a man have long hair, it is a shame and a disgrace. It is vile. It is a reproach. It is a dishonor. And if you listen carefully, I'll tell you something else. This word is used, the word shame, about man's long hair. It is used most of the time in pertaining to the offensive. Young people, listen to me. It is used in the offensiveness of a dead body. You walk down the street and here's a dead man lying there in his blood. His body is already stinking. And you say, boy, that's terrible. That's offensive. Now, that's what God says about a man having long hair. It is as offensive to God as a dead body is to you. Now, I'll ask you a question. Whatever long hair means, does the Bible say it's a shame for a man to have long hair? Amen? Now, I'm not saying you believe the Bible, but I'm saying, does the Bible say it's a shame for a man to have long hair? Yes or no? Yes. Okay, it's in the Bible. It says it in the Bible. Now, whether you believe the Bible or not, if you don't believe the Bible, okay. But if you do believe the Bible, then of course you'd have to accept it or completely reject the will of God for your life. But the Bible teaches that a man... Now, what is long? That's the next question that's asked. What is long? Is it curled up here on the end? For me, long is an inch. What is long? Is it down to the collar? What is long? Is it down to the shoulders? The fellow has hair down to his shoulders, says it long is down to the waist. The fellow has hair down to the collar, says it's long down to the shoulders. What is long? All right, glad you asked that. Long would be in proportion to how the normal wearing of the hair was in Paul's day when he wrote this. Right? For example, right now, a fellow who has long hair, a fellow could have hair pretty long. It wouldn't seem very long now. Back yonder about 5 or 6 years ago, a fellow could have hair just touching his collar. And we used to call him, he must play in an orchestra. Remember that? He's a long-haired musician. Huh? Remember how he did? Like that? And he's a long-haired musician. That's what he is. He's a long hair. Young people, I've said it enough now. I want that row right there. Listen to me. One row there. The boy in the white tie and the girl in the red dress and the whole row. You listen to what I've got to say. You need it. Everybody needs it. It's a Bible. Now then, so I'm going to come to it in a minute, and I'm going to show you what the length of hair was in that day. Now, not now, but I'll come to you in a few minutes. So first thing, wearing long hair for a man is a sin because the Bible forbids it. Number two, it is a sin because the Bible says it is effeminate. The Bible says it is effeminate. Effeminate is a Greek word that means sissy. It's sissy. Well, you say, Brother Hiles, I don't agree to that. Well, I'll show you according to the Bible. Now, I didn't say it was sissy. God says it's sissy. Long hair is sissy. By the way, I can take you back to 1 Corinthians 11. I won't, but I could, and show you. Didn't the Bible say in 1 Corinthians 11, a woman should have long hair? Amen? And a man should not have long hair? Okay, if God said a woman should and a man shouldn't and a man does, he has woman's hair, right? And so he's effeminate there. Well, folks over here, you listen to now. Everybody's listening. Everybody's listening. You see, a lot of folks are going to misunderstand. I'll do the preaching here. You won't say a word while you're here. Not a word. This is a preaching service and not an open debate. If you have any questions, I'll be glad to see you in my office after the service. Be more than happy to, but be sure you get your Bible now and look at the Bible while you're here. I want everybody with long hair to feel at home tonight. I mean that. I don't want you to feel like I'm unkind. I'm trying to help you. You see, we've all got to face God someday. And if we believe the Bible, we want to know what the Bible teaches so we can face God properly. And I'm not trying to be unkind tonight. I'm trying to help you. And I want you to be able to face God with as clear a conscience as possible. And I'm trying to help you. And I'll be more than happy to talk to any of you. They have long hair, short hair, no hair after the service. Be more than happy, and I'll treat you like a gentleman, and of course you'll do the same to me. So, it is effeminate, the Bible says. Turn to Romans chapter 1, please. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Romans chapter 1, I'm sorry, verse 26. 16 is the most famous chapter in Romans 1, just by force of habit. Romans chapter 1 and verse 26. This is a very interesting verse. Romans 1:26. All right, I want everybody to look at it now. Get your Bible, look at it. Got your Bible? Romans is in the New Testament. There's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and Romans. The sixth book in the New Testament. Chapter 1, verse 26. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. Now hold it there for a minute. Look at me. Look at me. The word vile here is the same word that is translated shame. In 1 Corinthians 11, 14. Where a long hair is a shame to a man, here's the same word. So the word is transplanted to Romans 1:26. All right, notice now. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections. Now, what affections? Huh? Folks that wear long hair. Same thing. The same type of people wear long hair. Vile talks about these people, and the same word talks about men that wear long hair. In 1 Corinthians 11, 14. Now, what kind of people then... Do it. Okay, let's read the rest of it. Vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use unto that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meet. Now God uses the same word, vile, shame, same Greek word, the same word, atima, is used concerning the man that has long hair and the man who commits homosexuality with another man. So whether you believe there's a connection or not between men wearing long hair and homosexuality, whether you believe it or not, God does. God does. God says, if a man wears long hair, it is the same thing, the same word is used, it's akin to men and men committing sex acts, and women committing sex acts. Now God says it. You may not believe it, but God says it. Ladies and gentlemen, I dare you then to explain to me why homosexuality is on the increase at the same time men wearing long hair is on the increase. Hold it. I didn't say if you have long hair, you're homosexual. I said you look like one. I didn't say it. God did. If you get mad, don't get mad at me. Get mad at God. I'm just preaching it. He wrote it. See? So get mad at him. Go out tonight and say, I don't like what you wrote. See? I'm just being faithful. God called me to preach the Bible, and I'm preaching it. And God said that the same root that brings homosexuality brings a man having long hair. Same thing. Now, it is more than a coincidence that homosexuality, did you know that is predicted now that about one male out of 10 in America is a homosexual? About 1 out of 10. Wasn't so in years gone by. Lesbianism is on the increase. homosexual churches, homosexual pastors. Right here in our area, there's a church for the gay crowd. I mean, the pastor's a homosexual, admits it. And the homosexual people are visited and asked to come to the church. Did you know that some of the leading stars and people in our nation, males, are married to other men, other males? Many folks that you watch on television, and by the way, they're politicians, and I don't have time to go into a lot of it, but they're politicians who are known homosexuals, and they're movie stars who are known homosexuals, and starlets who are known lesbians. There is a parallel. God says it. Why is it wrong for a man to have long hair? In the first place, God forbids it in the Bible. Why is it wrong for a man to wear long hair? In the second place, it is effeminate, according to the Word of God. The third place, and this is one of the most important, it is improper identity. It is improper identity. Now listen carefully. Jerry Rubin, in his book called Do It, said this, and I quote, by the way, you folks that don't believe it matters, you listen to this. Jerry Rubin, by the way, he's one of the most radical revolutionaries. Everybody knows who Jerry Rubin is, one of the leaders of the radical revolutionary movement. He said, quote, in his book, wherever we go, our hair tells people where we stand. Yeah. Well, you say with the Hiles, it doesn't matter what book. Well, now, whether you believe it or not, you have fallen prey to the Jerry Rubin. Yes, you have. A young man came to me after the service last Wednesday night. He wanted to talk to me about 5 minutes about this matter of long hair. I said, I want to make an appointment and talk to you about an hour. He said, I won't do that. I said, I know it, because you're a coward. You haven't got the guts to talk to an hour with a man of God. You know I'll disarm you. You know it. You haven't got the guts. I said, you and your crowd, and this is the truth. I said, you and your crowd, unless you've got a majority, you won't stand up with people. I said, look at your television talk shows. Two or three long-haired to one decent fella. When they put John Stormer on, for example, two or three of the left crowd to counteract John Stormer. By the way, it takes two or three. It takes two or three. I said, I'll make an appointment, talk to you for an hour. He said, I won't do it. I said, it's because you're a coward. He said, you're just trying to get me to come by psychology, by calling me a coward, so I'll come because I'm not a coward. I said, when I call folks a coward, it may come as a shock to you, but I call them a coward because I think they're a coward. You know, there are people that still say things because they believe them. There are people, when they say good morning to you, you don't have to say, I wonder what they meant by that. And so I'm saying, Jerry Rubin. I said this young man Wednesday night. He said, it's not true. Well, talk to Jerry about it. He wrote it in the book. Wherever we go, our hair tells people where we stand. On Vietnam, Wallace, campus disruption, and dope. Now, if you don't take dope and have long hair, you tell people you do. Jerry Rubin said that long hair was started by the hippies as a testimony of revolution. Now, if you wear long hair and do not believe in the revolutionary movement, you tell people you do. If you wear long hair and are not a pacifist, you tell people you are. If you wear long hair and are not anti-establishment, and by the way, let me tell you something tonight. I'll say this, and I said kindly. I probably have more respect for these Jesus people than some of you do. But I'll tell you one thing. Most of that crowd is as much anti-establishment as the hippies are. Now, they're for Jesus, but they're for what they call a Book of Acts-type Christianity of selling all you have and having a communal-type life. That's communism. That's not the Book of Acts. The Book of Acts, they voluntarily gave. Nobody taxed anybody. God's always been for free enterprise. Look at the parable of the talents. Fellow was given some talents, supposed to go out and make more.
Man went out to sow in his field and make more. God's always for making money. God's always for free enterprise. God's always for capitalism. J. Reuben went on to say this. Long hair is the beginning of our liberties from sexual oppression. Hey, it sounds like J. Reuben and God will agree on something, doesn't it? Wake up! You need this. God said, he used the same word for long hair he used for homosexual. And Jerry Reuben does too. Jerry Reuben said, our long hair, and I'm quoting now, is the beginning of our liberties from sexual oppression that underlies the whole military society. He also said this, and I quote, young kids identify short hair with authority, discipline, unhappiness, boredom, and so forth. You know, he doesn't know it, but he knows the Bible. The Bible identifies long hair with authority. A person that wears long hair is saying, I am subservient to someone else. And so, Jerry Reuben said that there's a parallel between sexual freedom and long hair, a parallel between pacifism and long hair, a parallel between dope and long hair, a parallel between revolution and long hair, a parallel between shirking discipline and long hair. So when you wear long hair, according to Jerry Reuben, you're saying, I'm for dope, I'm against the Vietnam War, I'm for pacifism, I'm for revolution, I'm against establishment, I'm against discipline, I'm against authority. According to Jerry Reuben and the Bible, that's what you say. Number four. Number one was, it is forbidden in the Bible. Number two was, it is effeminate according to the Bible. Number three, it is improper identity. By the way, if you are for revolution, go ahead and wear your long hair, because you don't believe the Bible anyway. Let me stop and say this, brother or sister. The revolution in America is more than a revolution to change governments. It is an anti-God movement to break the bound or to break the shackles of all restriction and of all discipline and say to God, we'll do what we want to. It is nothing more than humanism at its purest. Number four, would you agree that the Bible says we're supposed to be like Christ? Let me give you a few scriptures. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you which is also in Christ Jesus. 1 John 4:17, as he is, so are we in this world. John 14:12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, because I go to my Father, and greater works than these shall I do, because I go to my Father. John 13:15 says we're to love like Jesus. He says we're to forgive like, told Peter, forgive like Jesus. In Colossians 3:13, we're to forgive like Jesus. Now then, the fourth reason we're not to have long hair is because Jesus had short hair. Jesus had short hair. Talk to any of the Jesus freaks, any of the hippies, and one of the first things they'll say, which reveals their ignorance more than most anything else, is this. Well, Jesus had long hair, why can't I? Who said he had long hair? You ever see it? No. You say, I've seen pictures of him. Whose Kodak, whose camera took that? I told how old I was and said Kodak, didn't I? Whose camera took that picture, huh? Every once in a while, my age and my upbringing comes out. Whose camera took that picture? No, that picture that you saw was a painting painted by someone who had long hair. Did you know if Dr. Billings painted Jesus, he'd be 5'7"? Did you know if Dr. Beebe painted Jesus, Jesus would be wearing patent leather shoes? Would you like to know something? Do you know what he gave me for Christmas? Yeah, he did. He had the audacity to give me a pair of patent leather shoes. And Brother Fist said, I'm going to buy you a purse to match it. Did you know that if Brother Perky painted Jesus, he'd be overweight? He'd have the Dunlap disease. His stomach's Dunlapped over his belly, you know. Did you know that if I painted Jesus, he'd have a receding forehead, hairline? You know, if Charlie Bell painted Jesus, he'd be bald-headed. And tubby. Now, some long-haired, effeminate fella painted Jesus, and so he painted him to look long-haired and effeminate. Have you ever seen pictures that our colored friends have painted of Christ? He's a colored Savior. Have you ever noticed the pictures of Christ painted by the Spanish people? He has obviously a Spanish appearance. Have you noticed the pictures painted of Christ with the Chinese people? He looks like a Chinaman. And so a long-haired fellow paints Jesus, and he paints him long hair. But did he have long hair? No, he didn't. Listen carefully. Many pictures drawn by artists in recent times picture Jesus with long hair. In this, they are wrong. The following is taken from the book, The Modern Student's Life of Christ by Philip Vollner, published some years ago by Fleming H. Revel Company. Listen. Archaeologists object to the conventional pictures of Christ because they are not true to history. A German painter, L. Fehrenkrog, says, Christ certainly never wore a beard, and his hair was beyond a doubt closely cut. For this we have historical proof. The oldest representations going back to the first Christian centuries and found chiefly in the catacombs of Rome all pictured him without a beard. All the Christ pictures, down to the beginning of the 4th century at least, and even later, are of this kind. Now listen to me. Would a person who lived in the time of Christ paint a better picture of Christ, or a person that lived in the 15th century? All the pictures of Christ, all the paintings of Christ, until the 4th century, had him with short hair. Not only that, did you know that Leonardo da Vinci painted Christ with short hair? Did you know, as the years passed in the life of the great Michelangelo, he did not paint a long-haired Christ? In the June 1971 issue of Tomorrow's World, an article was written entitled, Did Jesus Wear Long Hair? In this article, they had authentic busts of the empire leaders of his day. Pompey, Julius Caesar, Caesar Augustus, Herod, Agrippa, and others. And these authentic busts of these kings of Jesus' day, in every case, they had short hair. On page 126 and 127 of A.V. Yonah's work, A History of the Holy Land, busts of Pompey and Augustus are found, and they had short hair. All statues of the Caesars, of Agrippa, of Pompey, all statues show him with short hair. Show them with short hair. All carvings show them with short hair. All coins show them with short hair. And ladies and gentlemen, if you know anything about history, you know that the emperor set the patterns and styles for his people in that age. By the way, if you want to know something, you say, well, I still think Jesus had long hair if nobody else did. Okay, let me ask you a question. How come Judas had to kiss him to show the soldiers which one he was? If the custom was to wear short hair and Jesus had long hair, why didn't Judas say, hey, it's the one that has the long hair? It's the hippie. It's the Jesus freak. No, he had to kiss him. Why? Because Jesus was like everybody else. He wore his hair in style, according to the admonition that was to be written by the Holy Spirit and the hand of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11:14. Now listen to me. Somebody said, well, Pastor, you get over this thing about the long hair and you'll yield to it. You got another thing coming, brother. I'm not going to yield to anything that's contrary to the Bible. Now, let me say this. Take the matter of flares and bell bottoms. It's not a sin to wear them. It's a matter of a beard. Not a sin to wear a beard. Not a sin to wear a mustache, as I said a while ago. Now, I do think there's taste involved, and I think there's association involved that ought to be considered. But, brother, when it comes to this matter of long hair, it's a sin. It's anti-Bible. It's a sin like murder. It's a sin like adultery. It's a sin like stealing. It's a sin like lying. It's a sin like homosexuality. It's a sin like cursing. It is against the Bible. It's a sin. Now then, to Bible students, it invariably comes up. This invariably comes up. Okay? Then if that be true, Jesus being a Nazarite, like Samson was, Samson had long hair, so Jesus had long hair because he was a Nazarite. Who in the world told you that Jesus was a Nazarite? There it is. Find me a place. There's not one verse of Scripture that says he was a Nazarite. He was a Nazarene, that means he grew up in the city of Nazareth. But a Nazarite was one that took a religious vow. And Jesus is never called a Nazarite. And if you'll give me about 5 minutes or 10 minutes, I'll prove to you that he couldn't have been a Nazarite. The Nazarite, turn to Numbers chapter 6. Numbers chapter 6. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers chapter 6. Verse 1. Numbers chapter 6, verse 1. I want you to look at it. Everybody get your Bible and everybody look at it. You said, "Brother House, do you hate folks that wear long hair?" Well, of course I don't. I love you. You think I'd get up here and make you mad if I didn't love you? You think I enjoy making folks mad? Well, of course not. I was out in California recently preaching. Oh, recently, it's been a year ago now, almost, last January. Preached 5 nights, different places, different daytime and night. So the Jesus freaks I met, they started following me around. Wasn't long, about 100 of them. Every time I'd preach, about 100 of these folks would be, these fellows would be in my services. And so after it's all over, one of them came to me and said, "Would you come to California and start a church?" He said, "We have all met and agreed that we'll cut our hair if you'll come to California." All those dear people needs a man of God to teach them how to live. They're like babies born, you know, riding down the road somewhere, and mama gets out of the car and has a baby and gets in the car and goes back. They just need some good maternity ward, somebody to feed them some warm milk and take care of them for a while. Many of them are born again, but they don't have any teaching. They don't have anybody to lead them. They need a man of God. They're sincere, many of them, but they need some man of God. Now, there are two things about a Nazarite. Listen carefully. Well, I'll show you. Look at Numbers chapter 6, verse 1. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When either man or woman shall separate themselves to vow a vow of a Nazarite, to separate themselves unto the Lord." Now follow me. Here's a Nazarite vow. "He shall separate himself from wine and strong drink, and shall drink no vinegar of wine, or vinegar of strong drink, neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes, nor eat moist grapes or dried grapes." Now, a Nazarite couldn't touch a grape. He couldn't drink grape juice. Let me ask you a question. Did our Lord ever drink grape juice? Don't you recall when he instituted the Lord's Supper? Our Lord could not have been a Nazarite, for he could not and would not have instituted the Lord's Supper had he been a Nazarite. Consequently, he could not have been. There's something else. Look down to verse 6. "All the days that he separateth himself unto the Lord, he shall come at no dead body." The Nazarite could not touch or come close to a dead body. Look, if you would please, at the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 7 and verse 11. Luke, chapter 7 and verse 11. That's the third book in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke 11, 7, verse 11. Luke 7, verse 11. "It came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, and the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, Weep not. And he came and touched thee," and that word means the open casket. "He came and touched the open casket, and they that bare him stood still, and he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise." Jesus came close enough to a dead man's body to touch the open casket. And the Nazarite could not come close to a dead man's body. Then was Jesus a Nazarite? Of course he wasn't. Certainly he wasn't. If he had a been, by the way, if he had a been, a Nazarite was only a vow taken for a few days. And a person was to let his hair grow for a few days, not cut his hair for a few days. And then, after the vow had ended, he was to shave his head. Now, if you just want to know the honest truth, if our Lord were and that was a Nazarite, he'd have come near being bald-headed than a hippie. But the truth is, he was not a Nazarite. Now, listen to me. It is important how you dress. It's important how you wear your hair. College students, don't you fall for this heresy that comes from the same source into all of our colleges that says we ought to look on each other for what we are and not how we look. That's not God talking. That's foreign to the Bible. When a person, when a boy wears long hair, he's saying to the whole world, Jerry Rubin said it, God said it. You're saying to the whole world, I'm a revolutionary. I was in Wichita, Kansas, preaching one night, and after I finished preaching, I was out in the lobby, and someone else was about to preach. I was talking to a fellow about a problem he had, and I looked out, and I saw a couple of hippies. I said to the fellow, hey, stay here. I'm going to go out and witness those hippies. And I went out, and I said, how you do? My name is Jack Hiles, and I'm a Christian. And one of them said, praise the Lord! And I said, are you saved? He said, yes, I am. And I said, you didn't say you were. Well, he said, I did too, just said it. No, but I said, you didn't say you were a Christian. What he said, I just said to you, I'm a Christian. I said, yeah, but you said to everybody else that wasn't close enough to hear that you're not a Christian. Because I said, I'm going to go witness those hippies. Now, you haven't got enough time to walk up to every person in all of Wichita, Kansas, say, I wear long hair, but I'm a Christian. I wear long hair, but I'm a Christian. I wear long hair, but I'm a Christian. Hey, Wichita, I wear long hair, but I'm a Christian. No, you haven't got time to do that. So the best thing for you to do is look like a Christian. Folks will think you are without you telling everybody. What's wrong with us being proud that we're saved? Why do you kids have to go away to college and come back looking like communists? Some of you parents say, I don't like the way you're preaching to my kid. You don't have any like in the matter. You better say, amen, bless the Lord, sick 'em, preacher. What you ought to say, why is it you go away to schools and come back looking? Jerry Rubin says, you boys have long hair. Jerry Rubin says, you look like a dope head. Jerry Rubin says, you look like a sex revolutionary. Jerry Rubin says, you look like a revolutionary. Jerry Rubin says, you look like you're part of the hippie movement. Jerry Rubin says, let our hair tell people where we stand. Jack Hyle says, and God says, let our hair tell people where we stand. What's wrong with it? What's wrong with wearing a uniform proudly? Jerry Rubin knows I'm not one of his crowd when he sees me. How about you? Can he tell? Or do you think you're a comrade? You know what a frustrated person is? It's a bald-headed man with a hippie heart. Did you know? Did you ever see a hippie with a suit on, a tie, his hair neatly cut, his face neatly shaved? Well, you say, I don't know if I ever did or not. I couldn't tell it. That's the idea. How many ever saw a hippie? If a fella has his hair cut like mine is cut tonight, and if he has a dress like I'm dressed tonight, and he's really a hippie, belongs to the revolutionary crowd, then he's got to do the same thing the other fella. He has to go around to everybody and say, I'm dressed like a Christian, but I'm really a hippie. So he's got more sense than a Christian has. Say, you say it doesn't matter how you dress and how you wear your hair. Okay, if it doesn't matter, why don't you just do it like Christians do it then? I'll tell you in one sentence why you do it. You are not willing for the students and faculty at your campus to look at you and find out you're a Christian. Well, you say, I am too. Okay, carry a Bible then. Let the long-haired college student tonight, who's a Christian, who carries his Bible to class, carry your Bible. Now you say, okay, I'll carry it. Okay, then open it and read it. Okay, I do. Then read 1 Corinthians 11:14. See? You say, you're hard-boiled. I'm just preaching the Bible. That's all in the world. Tonight, line upon line, first thing I said was, the Bible does care how you are on the outside, to prove it to you. Then I have showed you in five different ways why it is wrong, sinful, to wear long hair. Now, either you're going to have to do one or two things tonight. You're going to have to say, it doesn't matter to me what the Bible believes, or you're going to have to get a haircut tomorrow. You are. Put up or shut up. Put up or shut up. The problem, brother, is found in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It's conformity to the world. It's conformity to the world. Young people, don't swallow it. Don't swallow it. Wear your short hair, men. Wear it proudly. Because it says that you're a Christian. And let me say this. Don't even let it get to where folks might say, I wonder which side he's on. Now that's the danger of some of our people right there. That's the danger. Not down to your shoulders, but not closely neatly trimmed like it always has been. You just want to sort of be halfway. So then the hippies will think you're a hippie and the Christians will think you're a Christian. And that way, if you see Brother Hiles or J. Rubin on the street, both will be pleased. Pussyfooter, compromiser, coward, yellow-bellied, weak-spined, yellow-livered, yellow-gall-bladdered. He said, I won't come back anymore. You know, I'm not going to worry about that. I may lay awake tonight for 10 seconds worrying about that. I never did promise God, Brother Tim, we ordained you to preach tonight. We didn't say one word about getting them back. We said, let them have it while they're there. I've been pastor of this church for almost 13 years. I have not said one word in this pulpit since I've been here to try to get anybody to come back because of what I preach. I'm trying to get you to come back. I'm trying to get you to believe and practice the Bible. Now then, you come to my office tonight, you show me in the Bible where it's a Christian ought to wear long hair, and I'll get up and preach your sermon next Sunday night. You say, why don't you let me come up there right now? Because, first place, you wouldn't know the Bible. And if you did know it, you wouldn't care anything about it because you're not obeying it. Same reason I wouldn't let a drunkard get up here and talk. Same reason I wouldn't let a murderer get up here and talk. Why? It's against the Bible. Some of you fellows have grown up in this church and you ought to know better. You say, Brother Howells, I'll do it to please you. Don't do it to please me. Do it because God says do it. The truth is, for you to grow up in this church and not care what the Word of God says is folly. Very idea. We've preached to you and begged you and tried to make something out of you, and you look like a heathen. I'm not preaching to you visitors now. I'm ashamed of some of our own boys who come home from colleges. By the way, other places too. You're the same kind that won't pray in a restaurant or carry your Bible to school or tell folks you're saved. You want a sin-cursed world that crucified the Son of God and hates the gospel. You want that world to like you. And you ought to come down the aisle tonight and repent just like a drunkard would. You've been living contrary to the Word of God. You say, Brother Howe, what good does that kind of preaching do? You'd be surprised what good this kind of preaching does. I've had fellows all over the country. I preached in California not long ago. A fellow walked up and handed me a picture, and he says, this is what I looked like last year when you preached, and this is what I looked like the day after I heard you preach. Sure, it does some good. The fellow said, well, my college town, I have a pastor. He understands me. So do I. That's the whole problem. I understand you. He said, He doesn't look at people on the outside. I said, I bet if a naked woman walked in, he would. He'd be shocked. Then it does matter. By the way, we had some walk in this morning half naked. He'd be shocked. You know, one of the things that's ruining this nation is a bunch of sissy preachers. They're trying to count. A fellow came to me. I was out in Springfield, Massachusetts, preaching for a Nazarene convention. A fellow walked up and he says, do you have a coffee shop in your church? I said, a coffee shop? Yes. I said, what do you mean? Well, he said, where the young people can come and play the guitars. I said, you mean where the long-haireds can hang out and stink? He said, well, that's not exactly what I meant. I said, have you ever been to one? Go smell for yourself. Of course, I'm not going to have a coffee shop. I'm going to have an altar and an owner's bench and a soul winning and a prayer meeting. Since when have God's people had to borrow the hippest methods to get God's work done? I'll die before I'll do it. He said, well, you won't reach any hippies. I said, Buster, how many young people you got in your church? He said, 25. I said, I got more sick than that. No, sir. We're just going to preach the truth from the Bible. And tonight, you've heard the truth. You say, but the house, I tell you what, I'm a Lutheran, and I came to visit tonight, and my culture has been offended. Not your culture, it's your paganism. Culture is clean. It is paganism that has dirt between the toes. Culture combs the hair. Paganism looks like a wasp nest or a beehive. Well, you say, I'm an Episcopalian. I'll be honest with you. My dignity has been offended. I'll tell you what, brother. The day has come when fundamental Baptists got more dignity in their little toes than Episcopalians have in their whole body. You're living a day right now when a fundamental Baptist has culture. You check our kids over here and you'll see culture. You'll see refinement. You'll see propriety. You'll see dignity. You'll see the kind of proper propriety and dignity that America was built on. If you want to see heathen and barbarians, you go to the average liberal church youth parties. We're not going to do it. Well, you said, Brother House, you won't stay long here. I didn't come to stay long. Came to preach the truth while I was here. We won't do it. I'm sick of the fundamental churches across America compromising and trying to cater. Somebody said, Brother House, have an atmosphere for these hippies and you'll win them. The way you win people, my brother, is by preaching the Word of God in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, you're going to have to take the Bible, disbelieve it, or accept it. Young people, be proud to be different. Be proud to wear it. I see Joe Gomez got a letter sweater on back there. He's proud of it. He's an athlete, and he wants folks to know about it. He has a right to be proud of it. Dr. Beebe wears sometimes his bus blazer and with a little shield up here that says he's a part of the bus ministry. He's proud of it. You know what you're like, and I'm going to quit in a minute. You know what you're like? When Jim Lyons and I first came to Indiana, up north, we both wore cowboy hats. I mean big ones, 10 gallons. In Texas, there's nothing, remember that? In Texas, there's nothing to it. And I said, Jim, I'll go north, but I won't give up my hat. I won't give up my hat. So Jim said, Preacher, I'm right with you, buddy. We had big old things, turned up on the ends, 10-gallon deal. We'd walk down Holman Avenue and I'd walk O'Hara Field out to the airport. So one time Jim went back home for vacation. He came back at one just a little bit smaller. I said, pussyfooter, compromiser. Then one day I accidentally lost mine. And now I've got a little dinky thing that Sam Houston would weep over if he saw it. know why? I'm just sort of Yankee-fied. A while ago I said something about who had the Kodak that took that picture. That did it. The other day I was preaching and I said, you know what we need? We need to get up there. Get up there. Up there means up there. I said, but not down there. Down there means down there. But you know, I'll be preaching in Texas next week. And those people sit out there and cry as they hear me. Poor old Jack. Lost his proper diction and grammar. And you cry here. The honest truth is, it's hard to be different, isn't it? Why can't God's people just say, praise the Lord, we're saved. Thank God we're His children. And we're not going to be conformed to this world. You say, well, the house is tough. Okay, so it's tough. By the way, it wouldn't be tough if all of us did it. All of us did it. Let's be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.